When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
TFA fam, welcome back in. It is time to dive into our week three running back rankings. Not going to waste any time here, Kev. Let's just dive right into it. Our top 12 for week three are as follows. We have Jordan Mason at the top, followed by Bijan Robinson, Breece Hall, Devon Achane, Saquon Barkley, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs, Alvin Kamara, James Cook, Travis Etienne, and Kyren Williams rounding out our top 12. Kev, who are you higher on? What are you lower on? What does week three look like for you at the top four running backs?
Yeah, I mean, I think first we have to start with the guy that we have ranked as the RB1. I mean, I haven't had RB3, but I do not hate the RB1 ranking because through 2 weeks, Jordan Mason, while he's been the RB7, averaging 19.1 fantasy points per game, he's an absolute workhorse in this backfield. He's playing 81% of the snaps, handling 76% of the rush attempts. That is the highest rate in the league. However, one thing I will say, he has not been involved in the passing game despite running 56% of the routes. He's only seeing a 3.1% target share. Mason has been efficient with his touches, though, as he ranks 6th in missed tackles forced per attempt and 11th in yards after contact per attempt. This week, the 49ers take on a Rams team that has been ravaged by injuries. They've also struggled to stop the run this year. Through two games, they've allowed 197 rushing yards per game, which is the third highest rate in the league. Their 33% stuff rank ranks 6th lowest, as well as they rank 12th in missed tackles forced per attempt. This is an elite matchup for Mason and should be viewed as a locked-in top three running back this week. Let's move on to the next one. Let's talk about Devon Achane versus Seattle. Achane currently is the RB2 overall, averaging 26.3 fantasy points per game. He's maintained his limited workload as he's only played 56% of the snaps with a 54% rush share. While he has a decent 42% routes run, his 18.4% target share is excellent. He hasn't been nearly as efficient as he ranks 28th in missed tackles forced per attempt, 34th in yards after contact per attempt. And the Dolphins now take on a Seahawks defense that struggled to stop the run. They've allowed the 11th most rushing yards per game. They've also allowed the 8th highest explosive run rate and the 7th highest yards after contact per attempt. So we'll see if Mostert's able to play this week. But if he's not, Achane is just a locked-in top 10 running back this week, no doubt. Next up, it's Alvin Kamara. Well, maybe everybody thinking that he was dead was wrong, because so far he is now averaging 33 fantasy points per game. And on the season, he's averaging a 54% rush share, 46.5% of the routes with a 20% target share. Despite being 29 years old, Kamara has shown no signs of slowing down as he is 9th in explosive run rate and 28th in yards after contact per attempt. He's also excelled through the air as he ranks 2nd in yards per out run. Kamara is proving again that he's one of the best draft day values so far. This week, the Saints get another good matchup. The Eagles have allowed the 7th most rushing yards per game. They've also allowed the highest explosive run rate and the 8th lowest stuff rate. However, they have allowed the 15th most fantasy points per game, but that is mainly because they haven't allowed a rushing touchdown yet. So Alvin Kamara is in a really good spot. Lastly, I want to hit on James Cook versus the Jaguars. So far through two games, Cook is the RB6, but is the RB26 in expected fantasy points per game. Most of that is largely because he's playing just 54% of the snaps, handling just about 50% of the rush attempts. But as a pass catcher, he's also only seeing a 9.5% target share while he's running 46% of the routes. On a per-touch basis, though, he ranks 17th in missed tackles forced per attempt, 16th in explosive run rate, but he does rank 48th in yards after contact per attempt. As far as this week is concerned, this isn't the best matchup, as the Jags have done a pretty good job stopping the run. They're allowing just a 3.81 yards per carry, which ranks 25th. Their 1.9% explosive run rate ranks 4th best in the league, and they also rank 9th in stuff rate. Where they have struggled, though, is allowing 12 receptions and 105 receiving yards, which is the 5th highest rate in the league. Overall, they have allowed the 14th most fantasy points per game, but their underlying metrics prove they're a little better against the run than most people would expect. So I'm not as high on James Cook this week as most everybody else, but I do still think that he is a very playable, you know, high-end RB2 this week.
I mean, I really don't have anything else to add to the RB1, so let's just go ahead and keep this thing moving. Let's talk about our RB2s for week three. We have Brian Robinson leading us off at RB13, followed by James Conner, Ramondre Stevenson, David Montgomery, Derrick Henry, Tony Pollard, Rashad White, Aaron Jones, Kenneth Walker coming in at 21. Going to have to pay attention to see what happens to him with practice this week. Zach Moss, Jerome Ford, and J.K. Dobbins, the revival at RB24 for the week. So, Kev, same thing, RB2, who do the folks need to know about?
Yeah, first I want to talk about Brian Robinson. The Commanders' passing attack has been truly dreadful this year. However, Brian Robinson and their rushing attack has been very good. Brian Robinson is averaging about 16.3 fantasy points per game. And he also ranks fifth in yards after contact per attempt and 11th missed tackles force per attempt, as well as sixth in explosive run rate. Bengals have struggled to stop the runs. They also have allowed the seventh most rushing yards and the 14th most fantasy points per game. So I do think this is a really good matchup for Brian Robinson this week. Next up, Ramondre Stevenson versus the Jets. Ramondre was a later round pick a few weeks ago, and he has rewarded fantasy owners with a true workhorse role that has yielded 19.3 fantasy points per game, which makes him the RB9 through two games. On the season, he's handled 76% of the snaps, 61% of the rush attempts, and he's running 70% of the routes. He has an expected fantasy points per game of 22.5, so he's actually left a little meat on the bone. It's not as surprising to see he's been very good on a per-touch basis as he ranks fourth in missed tackles force per attempt and 10th in yards after contact per attempt. This week, the Patriots take on a Jets team on Thursday night that have really struggled to stop the run, and they have allowed the 10th most fantasy points per game. Ramondre is a high-end RB2, possibly a borderline RB1 this week against the Jets. Let's keep it moving. Let's move over to James Conner. Now, Conner has been awesome so far, averaging 19.4 fantasy points per game, and he's done this while only handling 57% of the rush attempts with a 35% route share. While Conner has been very good the last 2 weeks, I'm a lot lower on him than most this week as he faces a Lions defense that has been excellent. They have allowed the fourth fewest rushing yards and have yet to allow a run of 10-plus yards so far through two games. They have allowed the fewest fantasy points to running backs, and if you have Conner, you're starting him. However, I do not have high expectations because this is just not a great spot, and he also hasn't been utilized in the passing game, so if he can't get things going on the ground, could be a long day for James Conner. Next up, let's talk about Derrick Henry versus the Cowboys. There are certainly some red flags here with Henry, and his 13.6 fantasy points per game isn't terrible, but his usage is concerning. He's only playing 47% of the snaps, handling 52% of the rush attempts while running a route on 16% of routes. That is not good, like not good at all. So basically last week against the Raiders, we thought this was going to be a great match because the Raiders have to stop the run, but he still didn't do anything in that game. Though I will say his per-touch efficiency isn't awful. He ranks 18th in explosive run rate, 18th in yards after contact per attempt. However, he's going to be completely touchdown dependent as he virtually is non-existent in the passing game. This week does not profile as a great game for his game script, making him more of a middling RB2. And I think that's what's he's going to continue to be because he's just not seeing the type of usage that people are wanting to see from him. He is being bailed out on a week-to-week basis on touchdowns, and that's about it. His yardage hasn't been there. His touch share hasn't been there. And last week was a game that they kind of were leading for a lot of it. They ended up losing that game. But it's not like they fell behind early like they did versus the Chiefs and had to kind of abandon the run. And Derrick Henry still didn't really get a whole lot going. So I'm definitely concerned with Derrick Henry right now. And I don't know if this week's going to be any better against the Cowboys. So let's keep moving here and talk about somebody that has really bounced back this year, and that's Tony Pollard. And this week they get the Packers. While many people were disappointed with Pollard last year, he has bounced back nicely this season. He is currently the RB13 in fantasy points per game. While it was thought to be a 50-50 split going into the season, that's not what's happened. He's currently playing 65% of the snaps, handling 61% of the rush attempts, and through the air, he's running 45% of the routes and seeing a very healthy 17% target share. Pollard also ranks 22nd explosive run rate and 12th in yards after contact per attempt. And Pollard gets a great matchup this week against the Packers defense that has allowed the sixth most fantasy points per game to running backs. They've also allowed the sixth highest yards per carry and the second highest explosive run rate. Pollard is a very, very strong RB2 play this week. Next up, I just want to mention a couple of situations here. One, you have Aaron Jones and the Ty Chandler situation. We'll have to monitor the situation. Aaron Jones is dealing with injury, could miss week three. I will say this is not a great matchup with either way, with the Texans' run defense remains one of the best in the league. If Aaron Jones were to miss, I think Ty Chandler at least becomes a high-end RB3 this week. I also have Kenneth Walker on here, with another situation we have to monitor. I don't know if he's going to play. We haven't got any really confirmation one way or the other, but I would assume maybe he doesn't
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Play, though I will say, Walker, whoever does play makes for a borderline RB1 play, as the Dolphins have allowed the eighth most fantasy points per game to running backs. But if Kenneth Walker were to miss, I mean, Zach Charbonnet saw an incredible usage last week. He pretty much handled every single carry. He ran all the routes. He's seen all the touches. Now, he wasn't necessarily great with those opportunities. He did save his day with a touchdown. But still, that type of usage and his game script, this is going to be, if Kenneth Walker were to miss, Zach Charbonnet is an absolute must play. And then lastly, I just want to hit on J.K. Dobbins versus the Steelers. Dobbins has been excellent through his first two games of the season. However, he's also had an incredible schedule to start against the Raiders and Panthers. This week, things will be a little bit different with Dobbins playing just 52% of the snaps and only handling just 38% of the rush attempts. This sets up for a much more difficult matchup, as the Steelers have allowed the seventh fewest fantasy points to running backs, as well as the fifth fewest rushing yards, and they haven't allowed a touchdown yet. So I would seriously limit my expectations. Well, game script is probably not going to be a problem here, because I don't expect the Steelers to get out to some huge lead. Dobbins not really getting this huge workload. He's got there through efficiency, and I don't expect that to be there this week against the Steelers.
The only things that I will tack on here before we look at some options outside the top 24, Zach Moss, I think, is a good play here going up against Washington, even though they're kind of middle of the road in terms of fantasy points per game allowed to running backs. I feel like a lot of that has to do with the fact that they played two teams that don't have a great run game with the Giants and the Bucks. Going into the year, I really thought this was going to be a true 50-50 split between Moss and Chase Brown. That has not been the case. So I feel like if you need a mid to back end RB2 for your lineups, obviously we have a ton of injuries already on the season that we are dealing with. So you may be in a spot where you have to start somebody like Zach Moss, and I don't think that this is a bad spot to do it. The other one I wanted to mention was Jerome Ford. Really weird usage last week between him and Deonta Foreman. Deonta Foreman couldn't get anything going on the ground. Jerome Ford had 7 carries for over 60 yards, and he was still out-touched by Deonta Foreman. Get a decent matchup here going up against the Giants. I just don't know what to make of what happened last week with Foreman. I would feel a lot better about it if that didn't happen. We're just going to have to wait and see, unfortunately, for week 3 to see if there was something more to that or if that was just a one-off game type of situation. So just want to throw Jerome Ford out there. Like I said, I know a bunch of people are hurting with injuries at the running back position. Might not have another choice, but if you do, I would think about potentially sitting Jerome Ford, even though we have him ranked as a back-end RB2. So moving on, just some guys outside of the top 36. Someone I wanted to throw out, Jaylen Warren, going up in this matchup against the Chargers. He had much better usage in week 2. Kind of assumed that's what was going to happen with him getting that hamstring injury in the preseason. Really didn't see many touches at all week 1. That definitely changed in week 2. So I think if you picked up Warren as a zero RB type of target, you can look at plugging him in and feeling better about it in this game, where I think we just see a ton of ground game between the Chargers and the Steelers. And then Rico Dowdle, this has basically been a true 50-50 split between him and Ezekiel Elliott. This Baltimore defense has not looked the same than what we are really used to for the past couple of seasons. So again, I feel like if you have to throw a dart here for like an RB2 flex type play, you can look at Rico and feel pretty confident that he's looking at, in the ballpark of 9 to 12 touches, which isn't great, but you could obviously also do much worse.
Yeah, I just want to hit on a couple guys. Zamir White, I want to mention him. This is probably the matchup that Zamir White, if he's going to get it right, this should be the one against the Panthers. Yeah. But he's been dreadful so far. He's averaging 5.7 fantasy points per game while handling almost 60% of the opportunities. But his 3.5 true yards per carry ranks 36th among all running backs. However, the Panthers' defense, like I've said, has been dreadful, allowing the third most fantasy points for running backs. Game script should allow Zamir White to get right this week. If he doesn't, it might be time to move on from him altogether. DeAndre Swift is another running back that has been just absolutely terrible. The new Bears running back has been unplayable, averaging 6.6 fantasy points per game. Even worse, you thought Zamir White was bad. DeAndre Swift is averaging 2.8 yards per carry right now. And so it's just been really, really bad. Now, some of it is the offensive line. I mean, they are just been a sieve, allowing everybody through. It feels like every time he touches the ball, there's already somebody in the backfield. But right now, things aren't great. And I will say it's a little bit better matchup this week against the Colts. So maybe he can finally get right. But right now, DeAndre Swift looks absolutely dreadful. Now, the Carson Steele situation, I'm so tired of hearing about Kareem Hunt already. Like, here's the thing. Kareem Hunt is 29 years old. And Kareem Hunt was booty cheeks last year with the Browns. He averaged 3.0 yards per carry last year, which was like 60th among all running backs. He had 9 evaded tackles, 9 on 135 carries last year. That, you know how bad that is? That ranks 75th among all running backs. He's not good. And to make matters worse, I keep hearing about this from people like, oh, just go pick up Kareem Hunt. That's the move. No. One, he's not going to play for probably at least 2 or 3 weeks because he hasn't had any preseason, no training camp, right? The Chiefs have a bye in week 6. So he's probably not even going to play, if he does, until week 7. And on top of that, people are acting like Isaiah Pacheco is done for the year. He's out 6 to 8 weeks. At best, we're talking about him being back week 8 or week 9. At worst, you're talking about week 11. And like, so everybody's acting like that Isaiah Pacheco is cooked. He's not. And so like, he's definitely going to be back at some point. The easiest player to go with is Carson Steele, which they proved to us in the crucial part of that game against the Bengals. It wasn't Samaje Perine out there. And by a lot of beat reporters that I've seen and I've talked to, Samaje Perine hasn't played very well for the Chiefs. That's why he's not playing. And everybody tries to equate it to, oh, it's because Samaje Perine doesn't know the offense. It's a running back. Running backs don't need that much information to be able to get in there and get carries. But you know what we have seen a lot of through the years with the Chiefs? They've signed guys like LeSean McCoy. They've signed guys like Le'Veon Bell. You know what all of them have done? Absolutely fucking nothing. Okay? And this is what I'm expecting. But because if it's a name value, it's a name player, people are jumping all over board of, oh, we got to go pick up Kareem Hunt. No, you don't. Kareem Hunt is absolute dust. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't even actually play for the Chiefs, or if he does, it's a very much a reserve type role. At the very best, he's going to replace Samaje Perine, because Samaje Perine has not looked good. This is 100% Carson Steele's backfield right now. We saw it last week. He got 7 of the 8 total touches once Isaiah Pacheco left. And like I said, they had him in at the final drives of the game when it mattered, for them to still try to win that game. That's all you need to know. So all these people out here, and I hope what it does is drop down Carson Steele, so people don't have to invest as much in him to be able to get him, because he's the guy to own from this backfield. It's nobody else. And again, Isaiah Pacheco is going to be back here, because I saw people saying that they're just going to drop Isaiah Pacheco. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. Like, he's going to be back like week 8 or week 9, or at worst, like I said, week 11, week 12, which is still multiple weeks before even the fantasy playoffs start. Like, that's just ridiculous to me. So I don't know. I wasn't really going to get into all this. Like, I made this video go much longer than I wanted to. I wasn't expecting to have to go on this rant, but I've kind of bottled it up all this. But other than that, I don't have a whole lot else to talk about. A lot of these running backs in this range are really bad. Guys like the Broncos running backs, I don't want to play. Austin Eckler, I guess if you had to in a flex option PPR format, you could play. Chuba Hubbard, this is actually a good matchup against the Raiders this week. So you could look to play him, but now he's pretty much splitting 50-50 touches with Miles Sanders. Don't love that. The other one situation we'll have to monitor is Joe Mixon. I have to see what's going to happen with him. It sounds like he avoided serious injury, but he's still in risk of missing this week. Damian Pierce is making really good progress from his hamstring injury. I would expect Cam Akers to be the starter, I would guess, but I don't love it. I think he's just a flex option, kind of a dart throw for this week, but with all the injuries, you may need it. So I think that's where I stand on all these guys. So that being said, be sure to hit that like and subscribe button for future content. We'll see you on the next one.
need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.